Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Further with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the weekend commodity newsletter for Sunday, December 23rd. And actually, it's very early Monday morning, December 24th, Christmas Eve. It's about 1 a.m. I've been out of town all the weekend, and I got back late. So I'm just putting this newsletter out now. Not really sure why. Not really sure how many of you are going to be listening to the newsletter. I'm sure most of you are out of town or taking a break. As you know, it's Christmas tomorrow. It's Christmas Eve right now. The market trades a half a day on Monday. I wish it was closed, but there's a rule with the U.S. stock markets that they try not to have them closed for 4 days in a row. So that's why the market's open. It's going to be pretty dead. Anyway, Steve Nelson sent out his weekend newsletter on Saturday night. So this here is the commodity. Again, mainly on this newsletter, just going to focus on a few things. As you can see with the table of contents at the top, there's only three major sections to this newsletter. First off, I'm going to make some administration comments about breakpoint trades and what's coming for 2013. Got a lot of changes coming. Number two, we're going to look heavily at precious metals, gold and silver. Then we're going to look at GDX, that's the gold miners ETF. We're going to look at the mechanical systems. And we'll also look at GDX itself, as well as some individual precious metal stocks. Lastly, number four, we'll look at the U.S. dollar. Then we'll just look at a few generic commodities like copper, crude oil. We'll look at the BP&ER and XLE from that mechanical system, as well as natural gas. Next, item number two shows a table of what the whole general market did last week, not just commodities. The general markets were up, as you can see, with the Russell 2000 leading up almost 3%. Small caps tend to do better at the end of the year with the January effect, so that's not surprising. But what the weekend chart doesn't show you is what happened on Friday. On Friday, the market gapped down nicely for the market, and the market was trading quite a bit lower. And it closed off of its lows, but again, you know, the S&P still closed down about 14 points, the Dow down 120 points. However, futures were down extraordinarily on Thursday night. For example, ES, that's S&P 500 futures, were down 50 points at one point on Thursday night. Again, you know, everyone should know about it already. It was due to the fiscal cliff talks, the breakdown in that. And there's much more likelihood that, you know, we could go over the fiscal cliff. The market didn't like that. The market's been rallying, you know, obviously because of the end of the year. Market tends to do well. But also, there's been a lot of hope that the market would hope that the fiscal cliff would be resounded and some kind of deal would be made with the Democrats and Republicans. And on Thursday night, a lot of that hope evaporated, even though I think there's still some time. The markets definitely didn't like that. And so, again, that's going to be news for the market here. You know, again, we're late in the year here. But if something's not done, we could definitely go over it early next year. So that's going to weigh on the markets. And anyway, next, item number three shows you the economic news for this week. Again, you know, as you know, it's a shortened holiday week. Markets opened half a day on Monday. It's closed on Tuesday for the Christmas, obviously. And, of course, as you know, the fiscal cliff will be center stage after Christmas. And before we get into charts here, guys, I want to make some administration comments about breakpoint trades and some plans we have for 2013. First off, as you know, I have a couple systems that I've been trying to bring online, the XLE mechanical swing system, which basically is online, but I don't have it yet on the website. If there is a trade, I will email it out. I've made some revisions to our GDX mechanical system based on the BPGDM, Bullish Percent Gold Miners Index, number one. Number two, the homepage to Breakpoint Trades will soon be changing. We've had the same old homepage for quite a long time. A lot of internals on the website have changed over the last couple years, but we haven't changed the homepage. So the homepage will be changing fairly soon. So you know, definitely that's been overdue. It'll make the site a little more cohesive, match the inner pages, and, you know, it'll look a lot better. In March of 2013, so 3 months from now basically, Breakpoint Trades will be 10 years old. I started Breakpoint Trades. Well, actually, I started Breakpoint Trades, started forming it back in late 2002, but it didn't officially go online for members until March of 2003. So again, March of 2013 will be our 10-year anniversary. Prices have been the same in Breakpoint Trade since 2013 as well. The monthly memberships have been about $40 for a month if you bought a six-month membership. We are going to do a slight increase in price in 2013. Again, it's 10 years we've been open. Steve and I throw most of the money back into Breakpoint Trades. We don't pay for any advertisement. We have simply grown by word of mouth. And a lot of the things that we've added to Breakpoint Trades cost money. We have quite a budget for servers and programmers and everything else. And so I think a slight increase in price is not, you know, too much to ask. Again, we're not going to increase prices that much, just slightly. And again, it's been 10 years. We've been stuck at the same prices. Next, Breakpoint Trades, we're going to be introducing a Futures Academy. We're going to be offering a futures trading service. So it's going to be an offshoot to Breakpoint Trades. For many years, I've wanted to add futures trading to Breakpoint Trades. I just haven't had the time or known how to do it, really. But finally, I figured out what I want to do, and early this year, we're going to bring a futures trading service to Breakpoint Trades. Probably launch the service sometime in January. Again, it's going to be an offshoot. I'm pretty excited about it. In fact, I think those of you who have always wanted to learn how to trade futures, you're really going to love it. I'm bringing in an outside person, someone I've known for quite a while who trades futures for a living, and this person has a very mechanical and disciplined approach to trading futures. First off, this person only trades futures 4 hours a day, from 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So 4 hours. Their concept is that you should be able to make all the money that you need in 4 hours. You shouldn't have to sit in front of the computer all day. 4 hours is plenty. So that's a very nice concept. Number two, we're going to have a real-time trading room where we call out the trades. So you can just basically take the trades as we call them out. However, we will be training you how to trade. This is a skill, a lifetime skill that you'll be to take with you, trade on your own, etc. We'll be setting all the charts up for you, again, show you how to use it, and show you discipline. Again, we will teach you how to fish instead of just giving you the fish. When you sign up for us, this person will basically train you for as long as it needs to take. And the first month or so, you won't be trading real money. You'll be trading sim money. And they will make sure they will not let you trade real money unless they are confident that you can make money and are profitable. Futures also have a tax benefit, at least for now, with 66% of the trades taxed at long-term capital gains and 33% taxed at short-term capital gains, even though, you know, you may only be holding the trade for, you know, a minute or two. So we're going to be bringing on the futures trading. Lastly, Steve and I have discussed about doing some trading webinars in 2013. It's kind of an educational thing, maybe do a webinar once a month just to our Breakpoint Trade members to discuss things, maybe tips and tricks, etc. I think you all enjoy that. So anyway, that does it. Again, I'll talk about this stuff more later on. I just wanted to do a little quick discussion on it. Okay, so let's jump right in the charts here, guys. First chart below, item number 4, shows a monthly chart of gold. For the month of December, gold is down almost $60, as you can see. And definitely hasn't been following historical. Generally, gold is pretty strong in December. It hasn't been this December, obviously. And it's breaking this monthly uptrend line. If you recall, last couple months, I've been stating how I wouldn't be surprised to see this uptrend line from 2008 to be lost, and now we're seeing that. So again, I don't take that as too a bearish event, just because I expect that basically to occur. Next, chart number 5 shows the weekly chart of gold for the week. Gold was down $40, so again, not a good week for gold either. Again, technical picture remains the same. Gold is in a technical consolidation from August 2011. Major resistance is the 1800 area, which you see in pink, that horizontal line, and of course the blue downtrend line. Support are the lower trend lines. Really needs to hold those. If it doesn't, that would be quite bad, but gold's still above, quite a ways above support. Last couple weeks, I've been discussing the 14 stochastic below, which I have circled in blue. I stated how stochastics was not oversold yet, and it's still not oversold, even with last week's down move, but it's starting to work its way down, so that's something to take notice of. The MACD had crossed a couple weeks ago. It's moving down. It's still above zero, and again, we'll just see what gold does here. For now, gold's in this consolidation mode. Next, chart 6 is a daily chart of gold, and this is the symmetry chart, and what I mean by symmetry is I'm basically time symmetry. If you look back, you know, gold has been consolidating from the August 2011 highs. It's about 16 months or so. Gold, the two previous consolidations on gold, the one from 2008 to 2009 was 17 and a half months. So we still haven't consolidated as long as that time frame. And that from 2006 to 2007, gold consolidated for about 16 and a half months, which we're getting close to that consolidation time frame, but still not quite there yet. So point I'm trying to make, guys, here is that, you know, gold's been consolidating for a while, but, you know, it could still consolidate for quite a bit longer, especially if it wants to match the 2008 to 2009 consolidation. One thing bearish last week, or warning sign, is that you can see that 250 CCI, I have it circled, it's starting to cross below the 0%. Gold is bullish when it's above that 0%, that red horizontal line, and it's now below it. Again, it could just come right back above it, but it is below it, so that's something to take notice of. Also, gold fell below these moving averages. You could see the all these moving averages that have basically pinched together, the 50, 200, 150, and 377 moving averages. So it's below that, and that is a warning sign. All right. Again, it could come right back above it, but you got to take notice of that. Long-term support is that lower trend line, quite a bit down there in the 1500s. Okay. So let's got to see what gold's going to do this week. Next, chart 7 is another daily chart of gold. Shows you a shorter-term view. Again, you can see how it's fell below these moving averages that it all pinched together over the last couple weeks. So those moving averages can now be resistance, perhaps, on a bounce. We'll have to see what it does. Longer-term support is that lower trend line around 1525. Hope it doesn't go that low. But for now, again, we'll see what it does. Next, chart 8 is a shorter term daily chart of gold, and this is the wave. It also shows the Elliott wave count that I've been showing. This is still considered the bullish wave count with the bullish consolidation in the June to August time frame, that triangle pattern had formed, and then the rally up into October highs is a major wave 1 in parentheses in blue. The bullish case would have this whole pullback being an ABC correction of major wave 2. So you can see the ABC in pink, with this being C, and wave 2 in parentheses. Again, notice how gold is still, notice how gold's also in a downtrend channel. The pullback last week found support at the lower channel. It's still above the 61.8% Fib retracement, which is around 1630. I wouldn't want to see gold go too much below that 61.8% Fib, because that would start causing major concern that something more bearish could occur. All right, so for now it's still holding that, but again, gold needs to start strengthening here pretty soon. So it is at some support, but guys, you know, I've been talking about this bullish wave count that gold should take out that early November lows. And lo and behold, it did. So far, gold's been playing out pretty much to a T as I thought. So now we'll see if this support area can hold. Next, chart 9 is a daily chart of GLD. That's the ETF. And Steve showed the symmetry chart last week. By symmetry, I'm pointing to the dotted line in purple, which shows that first pullback from the October highs to the early November lows. That was wave A. And then the pullback from the later November highs to current would be wave C. And you can see how they match almost exactly. So that's your symmetry. There's, again, GLD has some support here. It bounced off of it last Friday. Volume patterns are still pretty forward. MACD is pointing down still. Again, it's got to turn up here. These indicators got to start turning up. But it did bounce off support for now. Next, chart 10 is a 60-minute chart of gold. Again, it's obviously in a very strong downtrend channel. RSI got oversold last week. You can see I have the RSI's oversold area circled in blue at the top. No positive divergence here, though. So it's got some work to do, guys. And again, let's just keep an eye on gold, see if we can find some support here fairly soon or not. Longer term, again, I still consider it in a bull market. But for now, it's just, again, it's been consolidating for 16 months or so. Next, chart 11 is a weekly chart of SLV. That's the silver ETF. Silver is down almost 7% for the week. So big down week for silver. For now, silver's still holding the uptrend line from the 2008 lows. You can see that blue uptrend line. You could also draw a triangle formation here from the early 2012 highs. So, you know, for silver, we just got to see if that lower trend line can hold from the 2008 lows. Next, chart 12 is another chart of silver. It's a daily chart. Again, shows you how it's been moving. Major support that silver bounced off from the June-July time frame was around the 26 area. That held. The major resistance is that thin downtrend line, which connects that previous two highs of 34.49 and 35.44. Silver lost the 200-day moving average last week, so that was a disappointment for the bulls. And again, guys, let's just see what it can do here. Can supports hold? Supports are down there below, but I really don't want to see it go all the way back to the 20s. To me, you know, to the mid-20s, to me, that would be a bearish event. Next, chart 13 is another daily chart of silver. Again, as I showed the weekly chart, you can also draw a triangle here forming with the major support from the 2008 lows. That comes in, about another buck and a half lower. So, you really want to see that area hold. If that doesn't hold, to me, that would be quite bearish. And at least an area, the 26 area would be tested, would be the next support. But again, let's see if this uptrend line can hold from the 2008 lows. Next, chart 14 is a shorter term daily chart of silver. Similar to that symmetry chart on the GLD chart I showed above. Silver basically hit its symmetry target here. And the 61.8% fib. So this could be a little support area. And a doji candle formed on Friday. But again, MACD's pointing straight down. No divergences. You know, this thing's got to start turning up here fairly soon, guys. Silver has been much weaker than gold. And next, chart 15 is another chart of silver. It's the ETF. Another support area to watch would be the broken downtrend line in black. Again, that comes a little bit lower, maybe around the 28 area. Let's see if it can bounce off of there. Again, if it slices through there, it won't be good because you're looking at least a test of the fall lows around the 26 or 25 and a half area. Next, chart 16 shows a 60-minute chart of SLV. No positive divergence here. Still very ugly. There is a gap to fill if it wants to. But again, it needs to maybe base out here. We need some divergence. We just don't have it. But again, it is oversold, so I wouldn't be surprised to see it bounce up at least a little bit here. Can it fill the gap short term? We'll just have to see. Next, Charber 17 is a daily charted GDX, which was up about 11 cents on Friday. Formed a new low last week. It hammered off the Bollinger Bands, as you can see here. But otherwise, GDX, you know, has been very weak along with gold metal. A couple interesting things here, guys. The BPGDM at the top, that crossed up over the 9-day exponential moving average a week ago, but it did not give a confirmed buy signal. And so the system, our GDX system, is not on a buy signal yet. Okay. However, if you look at the MACD, notice where I say MACD kiss. What I mean by that is the MACD lines are touching. And when the lines are touching, that could be a low-risk long entry because you could have a stop predicated on the MACD going below it. Okay. And also, GDX hammered on Thursday. So if you look at my comments here, I basically state low-risk buy with a stop below the 44.16 low. So even though the system's not long, guys, if you wanted to, you could buy GDX with a stop below Thursday's lows. Okay. Otherwise, the GDX system has yet to get a buy signal. But you could have a low-risk buy here right now if you want to take it. Again, if you're stopped out, no big deal. Your stop is pretty obvious. It should be below that 44.16 area. Next, Charber 18 is the BPGDM chart. And again, you can see how the MACD lines are kissing, basically. Again, when they touch together, that's a support. MACD either bounces off of it, like skipping a rock in the water, where it bounces off, or the rock crashes through the water. So, you know, it's a potentially low-risk area because your stop can be very tight. At the top is GDX plotted. You know, again, maybe it's forming some kind of bull wedge pattern. Next, Charber 19 is another GDX chart. Downtrend channel. Again, but, you know, there could be a little wedge forming perhaps in the channel. It's got to follow through from Friday's bounce, though, obviously. Short term, it's got to get over the 9-day and moving average. Longer term, it's got to get over the downtrend line of the channel and the 200-day moving average. If it could do that, that would be quite positive. Again, the MACD lines are touching here. It's flattening out. So this is a potential bounce area, guys. Next, Charber 20 is another daily charted GDX. Just shows you the same thing, but shows you a closer view. You can see the wedge pattern potentially forming. And you can see the MACD kiss going on. So if you want to try along here, I think it would be nothing wrong with that. Next, Charber 21 is a 60-minute charted GDX. You can see this potential wedge is forming and a little channel. Again, resistance otherwise is that horizontal line right around 46.50. Getting above that would be a positive. Longer-term resistance would be that downtrend line above. Next, Charber 22 shows a weekly charted GDX, which was down 2.8% for the week. You know, the bearish view could say that it's forming a large head and shoulder topping pattern. But otherwise, again, guys, you know, that would not be validated unless that neckline was lost right around the 40 area. That's quite a ways down. So for now, this chart to me is academic. Weekly stochastics are oversold. I think GDX is setting up for a bounce here fairly soon. Okay, so I'm just showing you this chart for academic purposes, but I really highly doubt it'll play out. I think GDX is setting up for a bounce soon. Next, Charber 23 is GDXJ. That's the Gold Miners Junior ETF. Again, fell last week again, but you know, maybe perhaps a little wedge is forming here. Resistance of the downtrend line. I did draw another fib retracement below the 76.4% fib retracement right around 1950. I don't want to see it lose that area, so we're still above that, but that's something to watch if it continues to weaken. Next, looking at some individual gold stocks, precious metal stocks. Charber 24 is a daily chart of Newmont. Newmont's actually one of the better looking gold stocks right now at the moment. Has a bull wedge here forming, some positive divergence. So perhaps it's trying to bottom here. You could see how it topped out in late September around $57.50. So it's had a nice correction since then. Next, Trevor 25 is SA, another gold stock. Notice how it's above the moving averages here, and volume picked up quite a bit last week. So to me, I think you could have a, I think you could buy it here with a stop below the moving averages here, where I show my blue arrow. Next, Trevor 26 is AU. AU has a little bottoming triangle here, one to watch perhaps. Next, Trevor 27 is Ringgold. It's not gold metal, it's Ringgold. And it's had a nice correction from the October highs. Hanging around the 200-day moving average here. You know, it's still below its 9 EMA. Just wanted to keep an eye on, see if it could bounce off of the support area. Next, Trevor 28 is TRQ. It's possibly forming some kind of wedge here. It's got a lot of work to do here, go with the guys. I like to see it start to curl up here, but it's just one I'm keeping an eye on. Next, Trevor 29 is GG. It's a nice correction from the September high so far. Strong downtrend so far. Again, you know, it's got to curl up here, but it's not one I'm interested in buying yet. Just one I'm watching. Next, Trevor 30 is ABX, another major gold stock. There's a support right around here. Let's see if this can hold or not. If it doesn't, then more than likely it's going to test its July lows and a divergent low, perhaps. Next, Trevor 31 is MGH. It's a very low-priced gold stock. It's only 39 cents, but it's wedging here or some divergence. So if you want to take a long shot, you know, take a gamble, maybe you can, this is one to buy. Okay, guys, so that does it for precious metals, GDX, and some individual stocks. Next, Trevor 32 is a weekly chart of the U.S. dollar. It was up 0.5% for the week. Nothing's technically changed since I've been showing this chart for the last month or two. Still has this head and shoulder pattern on the weekly chart. The neckline is that blue uptrend line, which it held. Again, the fiscal cliff. If we go over the cliff, you know, perhaps the dollar was strengthened on that. You know, that's obviously going to have a big move effect on the dollar. So, but otherwise, technically, the pattern's still here for now. And chart 33 is the daily chart of the dollar. Again, you can see the same pattern. We bounce off that neckline for now. And chart 34 is another shorter-term daily chart of the U.S. dollar. Shorter-term, it's in a kind of a channel here. All right, guys, next, chart 35 is a weekly chart of copper. It was down 3%, so a big down week for copper. It's still in this big triangle pattern that I've been showing. Chart 36 is a daily view of copper. Again, you can see the triangle pattern a little more clearly. Again, the major support would be that lower trend line. If that was lost, that would be quite bearish. For now, we're still, you know, a ways above that. And chart 37 is a 60-minute chart of JJC. That's the copper ETN. Clearly, that bear wedge played out nicely last week. Next, chart 38 is a weekly chart of crude oil. Crude oil was up 2.6% for the week. Chart 39 is a daily chart of crude oil. Still really not much of change in the daily pattern here. I drew a little kind of an uptrend channel here. We'll see. Just got to watch this pattern, let it morph out a little bit. Chart 40 is USO. That's the crude oil ETF. Perhaps a little bottoming rectangle pattern. Resistance is around a 33 area. And chart 41 is the bullish percent energy index, BPNR. It did move up nicely last week, as you can see. It had based around the 55 area for a good week or so, week and a half. Finally, it popped up a little bit last week. Next, chart 42 is XLE. That's the energy ETF. And partially, you know, this is used for the XLE system. One thing to note here is the XLE, you know, it's moved up nicely from the November lows. If you remember, last week early I discussed how you could see December 17th that XLE was a low-risk buy with a stop below those moving averages. And it had a nice pop for them since then. Pulled back a little bit on Friday, or later in the week. So, again, just have your stops in place. Otherwise, the system isn't long here yet. It needs to take out that 61.8% Fib retracement on a closing basis for it to go long. Next, chart 43 is natural gas. Natural gas bounced off that uptrend line, which I discussed last week. But it looks more flaggish, so perhaps it may want to consolidate here a little bit. But it did bounce off that support, so congrats if you took it. Next, chart 44 is another chart of natural gas. Basically, natural gas was a great trader for us in 2012. We picked the bottom in April, and it showed an inverse head and shoulder pattern and provided another great trade in September. So it was a great trade for us last year. Hopefully, you took advantage of it. Chart 45 is a weekly chart of natural gas. Natural gas for the week was up 4.29%. Chart 46 is Boyle. That's the two-time natural gas ETF. It broke out of that little channel that I showed last week. But, you know, the problem with that channel, guys, is it was so steep. So, you know, in my opinion, it was maybe good for a bounce. But otherwise, for a good swing trade, this thing needs to set up in a better kind of a pattern. It just doesn't have it. Chart 47 in the last chart shows a 30-minute chart of Boyle. There is a gap to fill here still, perhaps. So that is something to watch. But otherwise, again, the daily chart needs a lot of work. All right, guys, that does it. Again, not sure how many of you are going to be around on Monday. Hopefully some of you are taking off because it's a half day, going to be worthless. Steve and I will be around a little bit, but that'll be it. Otherwise, have a great Christmas. Have a great New Year's, and hopefully you stick around to Breakpoint Trades in 2013. Again, we have a lot of cool stuff coming, like our future service, new systems, etc. All right. Merry Christmas, guys. Talk to you later.